Amen. Amen. You can change the world, and God's called you to. And so we've started a series last week. Does anybody remember what it's called? You could put the title slide up there. It should be the first one. Change the world, right? Change the world. Now, here's the deal. What's the subtitle here? We talked about it last week. It was the whole message, kind of. God uses the ordinary for the extraordinary. God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. Is that good news? Is that good news to you? Yes. Why? Because if you're anything like me, you are anything but super ordinary, right? But God uses, it's actually the only type people God uses to change the world is ordinary people. When they looked at the disciples and saw how they were ministering and what God was doing through them, they said, look at them. They are ordinary, untrained men. There's nothing special about them. When you look at all the heroes through the Bible, like you think of like Moses, who was like one of the greatest heroes of the Bible, like let God's people go, and it goes to Pharaoh, and Moses was like, I can't speak well. You want to use my mouth? Like, and God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. And so last week we set this up. We're going to be in this for just a few more weeks. It's a little series here. We're going to look at a few people in the Bible who are somewhat ordinary. Some of our, not our, our high heroes like Moses and Abraham and Paul, not some of our well-known heroes. What we're going to look at is kind of give a survey of some different folks in the Bible that we don't normally focus on as much. And we're going to see how God used them, how God worked in them to change the world. But in order to change the world, God first changed their world, right? So we saw that a little bit last week. And so we're going to start to dig into this week. We're going to look at some people who aren't as well known. You've heard their names, but you might have never done a deep study on them. So are you ready to begin? Are you ready to dig in? So there should be notes on every seat. There should be a pen, and there should be a Bible if you didn't bring your own Bible. We want you to follow along with the notes and with the Bible. If you don't have a Bible at home, take that one. Love it. Read it. It is the bread of life that will sustain. It is what we need. We feed our bodies every day, right, in order to live. But we so often fail to feed our soul, right? Our body will die, but our soul lives forever. What's more important? So we need the Word of God daily, just like we need bread for sustenance. Amen? Amen. All right, so let's dig in. Who has ever felt so dirty and like icky that you can't do anything? Who has ever like got super muddy and then it's like dried on them? Anybody? Just some people? Okay. Who in here has ever, okay, whose favorite season is fall? Okay, it's mine. It's mine. Whose favorite season is winter? It's my second favorite. Okay, whose favorite season is spring? It's my third favorite. Whose favorite season is summer? All right, I thought there would be a lot of hands. You know why my favorite season isn't summer? Because it's hot, and I sweat easy and too much. That means if I walk outside, like walking from this building to my car, and if it's above 85 degrees, I'm going to already be sweating. Now, who has ever like gone and done yard work or done some exercises or done some sports or been outside for too long and like your whole clothes are wet because of your sweat? Who likes that feeling? No. Okay. Now, who wants to like get cleaned up as soon as possible whenever you're like that? Like it affects all about you. Like it affects how you walk. It affects like I'm not going to sit on the couch. Like I need to get cleaned up. Do you ever feel that way in life? Not just physically, like internally, like you feel like you're too dirty, you're too stained, you're too broken to ever be close to God, to ever be used by God, to ever be whole and clean and well and good. Well, tonight we're going to look at a lady who felt like this. Actually, we're going to look at a lady who was like this. And we're going to see where we fit into this amazing and beautiful picture of God's grace. Are you ready? So let's open our Bibles, turn to Joshua chapter 2. Joshua is my favorite book of the Bible. So Joshua, it's towards the beginning of your Bible, Joshua chapter 2. So Joshua takes place after Exodus, okay? Exodus is Moses leading God's people out of Egypt, out of slavery, and they're going to what? Does anybody know what they're marching to? Wait, anybody? The Promised Land. Who's ever heard of the Promised Land? The land flowing with milk and honey. And it should have taken them not a long time, but how long did it take them to get there? Anybody know? 40 years! And it should have just been a walk in the park almost, okay? But it took them 40 years because they grumbled and complained against God. And so they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And you know what the book of Joshua is? It's them finally taking the Promised Land. And I love it. Just these battles after battles. It's awesome. And so they go and they spy out the land. And what we're about to read is them spying out the land. And they're going to have a battle shortly after this. And they're going to start to take what God has promised to them, okay? They're going to have to fight. They're waging war against God's enemies because they are God's people, and anybody against them are God's enemies. And so what we're going to see is part of this plan, this battle plan. But we're going to see a main character in this who is dirty, who is stained, who is too nasty, too dirty, too sinful to be used by God, or should be. But that's not how God works. So I pray we see ourselves in this, okay? So Joshua chapter 2. We're going to read the whole chapter here, and then we're going to turn to chapter 6, verses 20 through 25. So Joshua chapter 2. And Joshua the son of Nun sent two men secretly from Shittim as spies, saying, "Go view the land, especially Jericho." And they went and came into the house of a prostitute. Okay, now do you see what we're talking about? Dirty, unclean, sinful. Went to the house of a prostitute whose name was what? What? Say it loud. Who do you think our character is that we're studying tonight? Rahab. Her name was Rahab. And lodged there. And it was told to the king of Jericho, "Behold, men of Israel have come here tonight to search out the land." Then the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, "Bring out the men who have come to you, who entered your house, for they have come to search out all the land." But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. She said, "True, the men came to me, but I didn't know where they were from." She lied. "And when the gate was about to be closed at dark, the men went out. I don't know where the men went. Pursue them quickly, for you'll overtake them." But she, where were they? Where were they? They were still there, right? She's covering for them. But she had brought them up to the roof and hid them with the stalks of flax that she had laid in order on the roof. Do you think she was risking her life by doing this? Yeah. Verse 7, "So the men pursued after them on the way to Jordan as far as the fords, and the gate was shut as soon as the pursuers had gone out. Before the men lay down, she came up to the roof, to them on the roof, and said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land." What? She's one of the enemies of God. She's not one of the people of God. She's one that God's people are going to attack, to take over, and destroy. But she says this is incredible. "I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that the fear of you has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land melt away before you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, whom you devoted to destruction. And as soon as we heard it, our hearts melted, and there was no spirit left in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in the heavens above and on the earth beneath." That's incredible, right? "Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that as I have dealt kindly with you, you also will deal kindly with my father's house, and give me a sure sign that you'll save alive my father and my mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and deliver our lives from death." Verse 14. "The men said to her, 'Our life for yours, even to death. If you do not tell this business of ours, then when the Lord gives us the land, we'll deal kindly and faithfully with you.' Then she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was built into the city wall, so that she lived in the wall. And she said to them, 'Go into the hills, or the pursuers will encounter you, and hide there 3 days until the pursuers have returned. Then afterwards you may go your way.' The men said to her, 'We'll be guiltless with respect to this oath of yours that you have made us to swear.'" Verse 18. "Behold, when we come into the land, you shall tie," listen, "this scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down. You shall gather into your house your father and mother, your brothers, all your father's household. Then if anyone goes out of the doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be on his own head, and we shall be guiltless. But if a hand is laid on anyone who is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head. What was the sign that they knew that house was safe and to not attack those in it? Scarlet thread. Verse 20. But if you tell this business of ours that we shall be guiltless with respect to your oath that you have made us swear. She said, according to your words, so be it. Then she sent them away and they departed. And she tied the scarlet cord in the window. They departed and went into the hills and remained there 3 days until the pursuers returned. And the pursuers searched all along the way and found nothing. Then the two men returned. They came down from the hills and passed over and came to Joshua, the son of Nun. And they told him all that had happened to them. And they said to Joshua, truly, listen, the Lord has given all the land into our hands. And also all the inhabitants of the land melt away because of us. Flip over to chapter 6. Now they go and attack it. She let them spy it out. She let them see. She covered for them. She believed in their God, that he was the one true God. And let's see if they follow through with their word. She put the scarlet thread outside of her window. Chapter 6, verses 20 through 25. So the people shouted. The trumpets were blown. As soon as the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted a great shout, and the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him. They captured the city. Then they devoted all in the city to destruction, both men and women, young and old, oxen, sheep, and donkeys with the edge of the sword. But to the two men who had spied out the land, Joshua said, go into the prostitute's house and bring out from there the woman and all who belong to her, as you swore to her. So the young men who had been spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brothers and all who belonged to her. And they brought all her relatives and put them outside the camp of Israel. And they burned the city with fire. This is God's justice on his enemies, y'all. And everything in it, only the silver and gold and vessels of bronze and of iron, they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. Look at verse 25. But Rahab the prostitute and her father's household and all who belonged to her, look, Joshua saved alive. And she has lived in Israel to this day because she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. This is incredible, y'all. There's a message for us in here, so let's pray. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for the testimony of Scripture that your word doesn't return void. Help it come to life in our hearts and our life as we dig deep into this and see what it means for us, see what it means about you and how we view you and how you view us and how you'll use us and can use us. So guide us. Help us to change the world through ordinary people. For your glory. It's in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. All right, so here's our first point. Here's our first point. We're going to go quickly through this because I only have like 10 minutes. I didn't realize that. So here we go. But we needed to see the whole context. We needed to see this whole story, and we're going to dig into it. So this is how each one of these messages are going to be. We're going to see basically all there is about a certain character. And the Bible says a lot more about these people than we think. So here's our first point. No one is too dirty to come to God. No one is too dirty to come to God. No matter how far gone, no matter how much they've sinned, no matter what their past is like, no one is too dirty to come to God. Do you realize what, it puts a word next to Rahab every time it says Rahab in this story. What was it? Rahab the prostitute. Rahab the prostitute. Like it kept that word. Why did it keep that word with her name over and over and over? Because it's showing you what her past was. She didn't remain a prostitute. She remained in Israel. But God used her, and we're going to see this. No one is too dirty to come to God. I read this. As a father came home from his work, he saw his little daughter who had been playing in the mud. He said to her, honey, you're pretty dirty. In her childish way, she replied, yes, I know, Daddy, but I'm prettier clean. I liked that story because it reminded me of my daughter. Like I think of a father and a child relationship. This is how we are with God. When we think of God as our father, we realize the love that he has for his children, right? And I don't care how dirty my kids are. Like I'll love them and draw near to them. But I love them enough to, if they're too dirty, to like hose them off with a water hose too. You know what I'm saying? So we're going to talk about God's grace tonight. But God accepts us as we are, welcomes us in as we are, saves us as we are, but he loves us too much to leave us as we are. Are you with me? No one is too far gone to come to God. But God loves us so much that he doesn't leave us as we were. That's a good word. That, you need to say amen to that. That's some truth right there that we need to take hold. She was known as Rahab the prostitute. But that is who she was, okay? And so we see this. Jesus told the story of the prodigal son. And we see this picture of this father and this son. And the son was dirty, right? What is one of the dirtiest animals that we think of? I heard someone say, Avery, what'd you say? Pigs. What do pigs do? They wallow in the mud and roll around. Like Jesus told this story of a son who said, can I have my inheritance, Dad? And he's like, okay. And he goes and just wastes it. And he ends up like losing everything because he's just living this lifestyle of sin that maybe you're in right now with some things you're looking at on the computer, with some things you're doing behind closed doors, with some thoughts you're having, with some people you're hanging out with. Only you know that and God knows that, okay? But this son was that way, and he was wallowing in. He got to rock bottom so much so that he was eating the food of the pigs. He was as dirty as a pig, right? And what happens? He decides to come back home. And what's this picture Jesus gives in the parable of the prodigal son? What does the dad do, the father? He takes off running to the son, and he embraces him, right? And he throws a party for him because no one is too far gone to come to God. Amen? So no one is too dirty to come to God. We see this so clearly in the story of Rahab. So when we see this, here's our next sub-point, okay? It still is under this. This affects how we relate to God. This affects how we view God. Rahab was a prostitute. I want you to think about this. This isn't an occupation you just stumble upon. I ask people a lot, so what do you want to do when you go to college? What do you want to do whenever you grow up? Not once have I ever heard someone say, I want to be a prostitute. You know why? Because there's a lot of baggage that leads, a lot of sin, a lot of heartache, a lot of hardship that leads to someone making that decision. Are you with me? This isn't an occupation you just stumble upon. This woman has some deep issues and stains and pain and wounds. Rahab wasn't just a prostitute. That was a dirty negative side of her. She was also a Gentile. What's a Gentile? A non-Jew, okay? She was not a Jew. What were the Jews? What were the Israelites? They were God's people, right? So what was she not? She was not part of God's people. Two strikes, two huge strikes against her, right? So this woman had deep issues of stain. She was a Gentile. She was not a part of God's people. She was a part of the people who were the enemies of God. So Rahab, the Gentile prostitute, look at chapter 6, verse 25. She was spared. And I don't know if you missed this. She became an Israelite. Look at verse 25. But Rahab the prostitute and her father's household and all who belonged to her, Joshua saved a life. So she was spared. She should have died with all the other people, all the other enemies, because of her sin. We see this in Leviticus, but as a prostitute, but also because of her being an enemy of God, and God told him to wipe out all of them. She was spared, okay? And she has lived in Israel to this day, because she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. She was spared by God, and she became part of the people of God. This is incredible. She shouldn't have been spared, and she should have been killed, both because her people were enemies of God, because of her sexual sin. So we see the character of God revealed in the story of Rahab. Just like when God revealed his character to Moses. We're going to skip over these Exodus parts just for time. But Moses is who led them towards the promised land. And God tells Moses, this is my name, the Lord, merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. But he also said, not willing to leave the guilty unpunished. So God is just and God is merciful. Say, God is just. Say, God is merciful. God is just. God is merciful. He's both of these in this story of Rahab. We see his justice against God's enemies. But we also see his grace and his mercy towards those who are far from him, who trust in him. We see that with Rahab. God is just in destroying his enemies, but he's also merciful and gracious. Rahab deserved God's justice, so why did God spare this woman and give her a future? I want you to think about that. It's because he is merciful and gracious. No one's too dirty to come to God. There's no pit too deep where the grace of God isn't deeper. Amen? No one is beyond the reach of God's grace. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. Amen? So here's our next subpoint. Here's a question. Why was she saved? Why was she spared? Why was Rahab saved? By God's grace. God's grace is the answer. That is the reason she was saved. God had no obligation to spare her. Do you realize that? Listen, God has no obligation to spare you. God would be perfectly just in sending me to hell. If I'm completely honest, God would be perfectly just in sending me to hell. I want you to think, you've probably never thought about this. Look at 2 Peter 2:4. For if God did not spare the angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to chains of gloomy darkness to be kept until the judgment. God doesn't spare the angels who have fallen. They don't have a chance of repentance. Why in the world would he be gracious to me? God is perfectly just, and he should send me to hell. But it's by his grace that I am saved. Amen? So Joshua 2, flip over to chapter 2. Here's how she was saved, okay? Her faith. She was saved by her faith, okay? Get to number 2. Why she was saved? By God's grace. How? How did that apply to her? Why not to everybody else in Jericho? Because of her faith. So I'm not going to read Joshua 2. Listen to Hebrews 11 real quick. Hall of Faith. When we're talking about the heroes of the faith, we think of Abraham and Moses and all of these people. But then there's these little people that we're going to be looking at in this series. Rahab is mentioned. Look what it says about her. By faith. Say, by faith. The walls of Jericho fell down after they had been circled for 7 days. By faith. Say, by faith. Rahab the prostitute, they kept that with her name after all these years, did not perish with those who were disobedient because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. How was she saved? By what? Faith. Look at chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. Here's where her faith comes in. We see it. She explains it. She's not of the people of God. She's heard stories of their deliverance. A lot of people disbelieve. They're destroyed. They're God's enemies. That's what happens if we disbelieve. We don't take on God's free grace to us. But if we believe in faith, look at verse 10 and 11. She said, for we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt. She said we. She's talking about her people. Not everybody believed it. And what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, whom you devoted to destruction. And as soon as we heard it, listen, our hearts melted. And there was no spirit left in any man because of you. Look. For the Lord your God, look, he is God in the heavens above and on the earth beneath. She had faith in the God of the Israelites, the one true God. God would be just in destroying her, but he's gracious towards her. And it applied to her because of her faith. Do you see this? We are saved by grace through what? Faith. We're going to read that in just a second. So when we see this, when we understand this, it doesn't just affect how we view God. He's merciful and gracious. He's just as well. But this view is when we see God's mercy and grace, how free it is. This changes how we view other people, how we relate to other people. This is your next point, okay? This changes how we relate to other people. Knowing this, there's no one we wouldn't go to and no one we could view as too far gone from the grace of God. Amen? But it also makes us see, a lot of times we can be a little too self-righteous, right? We can maybe think that someone should act like a Christian before they're saved by grace through faith, right? We can't expect someone to act like something they're not, but we can love someone as they are and love them to Christ, who then makes them a new creation in Christ. Does that make sense? Rahab was a prostitute. She was a prostitute. She didn't stay a prostitute, okay? People don't act like Christ before they have Christ. So when we're viewing an unsaved world, we should love them with the love and the grace of Jesus. But we should love them as they are and love them to the one who changes and saves them. Does that make sense? So this changes. The grace of God that is free changes how we relate to other people. Number 2, no one is too dirty to be used by God. This is incredible. We're going to look at a lot of passages right here. I know this is our last point, but don't tune out because we got a lot of passages. This is incredible. So we're talking, this series is called Change the World. How in the world did Rahab change the world? Okay, she changed the Israelites. That was the first battle. Jericho fell. It wouldn't have happened without her sparing these spies, right? So How did she change the world? She didn't just change Israel. She changed the world. It started with her world being changed. I have faith in God. God spared her by grace through faith. No one is too dirty to be used by God. Rahab helped the Israelites obtain victory. Look at James 2:24 through 26. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. So her works came out of her faith. Listen, in the same way, listen what the New Testament says about Rahab. Same way was not also Rahab the prostitute. It kept that name with her. Justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way. I want you to think about this. Do you want to be used by God? Who in here wants to be used by God? Answer me. Do you want to be used by God? Have faith in God. It's not just have faith once for salvation. Have faith in what you know to be true about God. The gospel is for Christians as much as it's for non-Christians. We often think of the gospel as only coming to save us. The gospel empowers us to live. It is the power of God for salvation for all who believe. We shouldn't be ashamed of the gospel. We should carry it with us at all times. No one's too dirty to be used by God. Do you want to be used by God? Have faith in God. Your belief in God must come before you can be used by God. Not just belief in salvation, that's where it starts, but belief that he can save, belief that he can use you, belief that his forgiveness is free, belief that he is all powerful, that he is all good, that he is just, belief in everything about him. Do you truly believe what your head says, what you know you've been taught? Do you truly believe it? Because then it comes out in action. It starts with belief in the gospel. Your belief in God must come before you're used by God. Rahab saved her family. Listen, we're almost done. This is incredible. This is where it connects all the dots. Stay with me. Rahab saved her family and she bore a family. So we see she saved her family. She also bore a family. Do you know what this means? She became an Israelite. She married an Israelite. She had a kid who was an Israelite. Who had a kid, who had a kid, who had a kid who was an Israelite. In her lineage, her name is mentioned in Matthew chapter 1. Look at Matthew chapter 1, verse 5. And Salmon, the father of Boaz. In lineages, females' names were never mentioned. But it includes her name for some reason. Because God used her to change the world. Do you know who's at the end of this lineage? Whose lineage this is of? Jesus, the Messiah. God used a prostitute who wasn't of the people of God to bring about the Messiah who would save, the Messiah of the people of God, to save the entire world. This is crazy. This is the grace of God on display. Rahab's name is mentioned in this. Rahab the prostitute. Rahab the Gentile of the Israelite Messiah of the world. God used Rahab to change the world. We see it foreshadowed in the scarlet cord. What happens whenever she came into the land, whenever they came to destroy, how did they know to not kill the people in that house? The scarlet cord. What color is scarlet? Red. This is purposeful. This is very purposeful. Because it shows two things. Something the Israelites held on to. Because something similar happened to them in Egypt. There was red spread above the door of the houses. And when God saw the red of the blood, that lamb, he would pass over all those in that house. And anybody who wasn't, his justice was administered. His grace to those with the red blood above the doorposts. This is a Passover, and the Passover points to the day that Jesus would come and shed his blood. His cousin, John the Baptist, when he first saw Jesus, do you know what his first words were about Jesus? Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He's referring to that slaughter. He's referring to that blood. And this is a purposeful illustration, foreshadowing of the grace of God that would be freely administered to the whole world. When you see the scarlet, the red thread hanging outside, I will pass over and we will not kill the people in here, but we will spare you. And Rahab the prostitute, dirty, unclean, should be killed. Because of her sin and because she's an enemy of God, had faith in God, so the grace of God was applied to her. She spared herself and her family. She then bore a family who then changed the world. God brought about Jesus in the flesh through this dirty woman. So if you think for a second you're too far gone for God to use you, You're lying to yourself. You're listening to the lies of Satan. He used Rahab the prostitute. And it kept that name with her over and over and over, even in the New Testament, Rahab the prostitute, to bring about the Savior of the entire world. But it started with her. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 8, we're going to end with this. This is the gospel. This is exactly what has happened to Rahab. This is exactly what is free to us. God must change our world before he uses us to change the world. Look at Ephesians 2, 1 through 8. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, like Rahab, prostitute, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh. We all are dirty. We all are rotten. We all are sinful. We all have that sweaty clothes walking around where we can't do anything. God can't use us, surely. Among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. Look, two most incredible words in all the Bible. Verse 4. But God, being rich in mercy, not giving us what we deserve, because the great love with which he loved us, like that father running to that prodigal son, no matter how dirty he is, and embracing him and loving him and taking him home. But the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, look, made us alive together with Christ. Here it is. By grace you have been saved. Amen. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Here it is. We saw it demonstrated through Rahab. We see it applied to us through Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. That's good news, amen? So when we see the story of Rahab, we see the story of the gospel. You might want to write that down. When we see the story of Rahab, we see the story of the gospel and how it can change our world and the entire world. This is incredible. This is the good news. This is the Bible all together in one testimony for us. So would we be changed by the gospel, by the grace that is freely given? And would we believe in faith enough who God is and what he says he will do, that we, no matter how dirty, no matter how rotten, no matter how much we've done, would we place our faith in Jesus in every step and watch him change our world and the world? Because he can and he will. If he used Rahab the prostitute, he will and can use you. Amen? Let's pray. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for this testimony of this one who was far from you in many different ways in her sin. She should have been killed by your law, according to your law. Who was far from you because she wasn't one of your people. But she had faith in you, that you were the one true God, that you did what they said you did. You are a God who delivers, a God who frees. You were the one true God, and she placed her faith in you. And you spared her and her family. And you gave her a family. You changed her, and then you changed the world through her. Because from her came our Savior. Which you would see the blood spread above the doorposts of our life. And your justice wouldn't be administered because Jesus took that payment. And we receive it by faith, just like Rahab. So Lord, let us not doubt who you are, that you're with us in the hardship, you're with us on the mountaintop. Would we not doubt your goodness? Would we not doubt your faithfulness? Would we not doubt that you're all powerful, that you're all good, that you're all knowing, that you're in control? Would we not doubt you, but would we have faith in you? Would we have faith that the gospel can save anybody? Would that change how we view you, and would that change how we view other people? That we would go to anybody, we would tell anybody about you. The hard to reach people, the hard people. For no one's too far gone. Rahab the prostitute was saved by grace through faith. You changed her world and you changed the world. Would you change ours? Open our heart to the gospel. Even if we're already your children, open our heart to the gospel. Would we believe it in faith? Would you use the gospel to change the world through us? So be glorified. It's in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. If you're in here tonight, you've never placed your faith in Jesus. You don't know what it means to be a Christian. If you die tonight, if you don't know if God would let you into heaven. The only way into heaven is through Jesus. If you're saved by grace through faith, if you place your faith in Jesus, I want you to come talk to me if you're uncertain about that right now. Because you shouldn't leave this place without knowing that you know for certain that you are spared, that his justice won't be administered because you're saved by grace through faith, that Jesus has taken your punishment and that you don't bear it yourself. Amen? So would you come talk to me? And would you go out of this place knowing that God wants and can use you for his glory? Okay? God bless. Thank you for coming to Refuge tonight.